All right, so let's begin. I'm just going to work through the handout that I'm giving you. God has a plan for His church. And by the way, there are other churches that roll differently than we do. And many of you may have moorings in Catholicism, for example. Pastor Mark was brought up Roman Catholic, for example. And in the Roman Catholic Church, there are seven sacraments. Ordination of the priesthood, marriage, last rites. For Baptists, and you hear me say that we are Christians with a capital C and Baptists with a lowercase b, we believe Jesus taught clearly there are two ordinances, and they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. So I'm not here to slam your religious upbringing or the church from which you have come. We know we have many folks who were in churches that did foot washing as an ordinance. Some of the Baptists, you've been a part of a Monday, Thursday service, and it's a very wonderful thing. One of the wonderful experiences I had was one of our deacons calling me up and saying, hey, my wife and I just want to wash you and your wife's feet. And we came to church. It was a private thing. It was very beautiful. I'm not here attacking what anyone else is doing. I'm here to tell you, as Southern Baptists, we're Christians with a capital C and Baptists with a lowercase b. Here are the two that we practice. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And why should I be baptized? Number one, I'm just going to read Mark 1:9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came forth from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Can I just say right out of the gate, Jesus was baptized. Jesus had no sin from which to repent. Sometimes people think in terms of, well, baptism, that's for kiddos. I've been to christenings, and that's not something adults would do. Well, your argument stops in the person and work of Jesus, because at approximately 30 years of age, Jesus Christ was baptized. John argued with him, Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee, with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and you want me to baptize? I'm not worthy to latch your sandals. Jesus said, suffer it. Me to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus left us a perfect example to follow in His steps. He didn't have sin from which to repent. But by the way, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so we know that He was baptized. We know that when He was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven, saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So there you have God the Father involved. You have the Son actually being dunked. And then you have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon the Son. You have the triune God in action at the baptism of Christ. And I will say the best reason also is He commanded it. That ends the debate. One of my favorite memories is, families, a lot of families do the T-shirt thing, right? All the kids get the same color T-shirt. The choir kids had all the yellow T-shirts. My wife got the kids T-shirts and it said across the front, because I'm the mom. That's why. So no more arguing, no debate. Sergeant Major Diane has laid down the law. End the discussion. Do it. I'm your mother. Do it. You don't need to understand all things, but you need to obey all things. And so here's the thing. Christ commanded it. That kind of ends the debate for me personally. By the way, I'm not one that thinks you need to understand all things. Job did not understand what he was going through. We are never told that Job was ever clued in by God as to what had just happened to him when he went through the crucible. So he commanded it. And it demonstrates that we are a believer. The Bible says, 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The gospel, or the epistle of 1 John, gives many, 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 many wonderful proofs of Christian citizenship. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. If any man says he loves God and hates his brother, how does the love of God abide in him? So one of the things is we are to keep His commandments. And I'm a fan, even if you do not fully understand, you don't need to fully understand to obey. You just... when the military folks go, aye, aye, sir, here's what it means. I understand, and I will obey. Just do what He says. I understand the order, obey it. Now, the meaning of baptism. Baptism, dear ones, is a beautiful illustration. If you think about God and how he rolls, think about the Old Testament. Think about the Ark of the Covenant. Think about the temple. Think about the Holy of Holies. Think about the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. God, our God is a visual God. He, you know, when the children of Israel passed through the Jordan, stop, get some stones, put them on the other side. These things are monuments. These things are, you know, stones of remembrance. And so God has given us a beautiful visual demonstration of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. Now, you know, when we taught last week on the meaning of our salvation, I had a sample sinner's prayer. It's just a sample. It's not a mindless incantation that one is to utter. God sees the heart. But when I write a sinner's prayer, I always put in there the basic gospel. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again from the dead the third day according to Scripture. So baptism is really a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when we are baptized, we are picturing our participation. We have died in Christ. The Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now liveth in me. The Bible says in Romans 6, do you not know as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We have been baptized into his life, but we've also been baptized into his death. So it illustrates our life as a Christian. And I need to pause and say this. Baptism does not make you a Christian. Now, we have children here tonight, we are so thankful for children, and we're thankful for the opportunity to baptize children. We love children. And children, you know, as the Lord is tugging at the strings of their heart, they will naturally begin to ask questions. In fact, one of the signs that God is tugging at the heart of a child, one of our children, Susan, used to say, they would add an extra vowel in there, when can I be baptized? I want to be baptized like my sisters were baptized. When can I be baptized? So when kids are asking that, that is a good thing. Let me say that Richard and Melissa Gibson are going to be baptized tonight. And the kids want to be baptized. And Mom and Dad have wisely said, well, parents are going to show the way. Then we're going to talk more about this. And that is a very good thing. But here's what we need to understand. Getting baptized does not make you a Christian. We get baptized, dear ones, because God has made us a Christian. We have been born from above, and Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, then, and only then, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we know that other denominations christen children, and I'm not going to open a can of worms about that tonight. We have many of our, friends, Roman Catholic and non-Roman Catholic, who believe in covenantal theology and that children are christened as a part of the faith of the parents to show that the child has been born into the home of a believer. And I'm not on a crusade to speak against that tonight by any stretch of the imagination. But so, listen, when Centerview is wide open to whosoever will. And so understand this. We have a lot of folks from a Roman Catholicism, and we have a lot of folks who are from a liturgical background. It is not uncommon at all for me to visit members, and they say, Father Mike, how are you? Have a seat. You know, welcome to our home. And I don't, like, jump all over my, you know, in fact, I find it kind of, fun in a way. So we have folks that are rolling from all different walks of life, and we don't kick people to the curb. But when folks say, can we christen our babies? Here's what Pastor Mike, Pastor Mark, Pastor George said. Well, we actually dedicate children to the Lord here at Centerview. And actually, you're really dedicating yourself to bring the child up in the nurture and care and admonition, the training of the Lord. So we don't baptize children. I'm not on a mission to talk about those that do. I'm just talking about what we do at Centerview. We present our children to the Lord, acknowledging they are a gift from God. But we don't baptize children until the children have come to the age of accountability and they ask Jesus Christ personally to be the Lord and Savior of their life. So baptism, I've said all that to say this, baptism is post-salvation. It is after we get saved. It is not the final step. Now, I'm not here to bash or teach against other denominations. There's a denomination within Christianity called the Church of Christ. Some of you may be from a Church of Christ. And there's different kinds of Churches of Christ, by the way. In the classic Church of Christ denomination, baptism is thought of as the final step in the salvation process. One of my professors, and Mark knows him, and George knows him as well. If someone came from Church of Christ and you were baptized, even if you got saved and then you were baptized, if you were baptized there, he made you get rebaptized. I don't go that far, because here's what I've discovered. A lot of people within a denomination, they don't even know what the denomination is teaching. But here's the thing. Salvation is by grace through faith. Put a period there. I know sometimes the period thing doesn't work. We heard recently, if you like your health care, you can keep it period. Well, that turned out not to be such a solid period. I'm not trying to open a can of worms. But here's the thing. For salvation, it's by grace through faith. Put a period there. And here's what the Bible says. If it's by grace, then it's no longer by works. And if it's by works, it's no longer by grace. There's not a single thing you can do other than do what God says, trust His Son to be saved. Sirs, the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So all that to say this, baptism is something we do because we have been saved, not something we do in order to be saved. It demonstrates our faith in Christ. Sometimes I will use the wedding ring illustration. The wedding ring, which I'm not wearing tonight, does not make me married. It's a sign that I am married. What made me married was Diane and I stood before God and the presence of these family and friends and, you know, dearly beloved, we were gathered together and we made a vow before God and before our parents and before the members of the Enon Chapel Baptist Church. We entered into a covenantal relationship. That made us married. The ringing was something that was a sign. It was part of the ceremony. And in the same way, baptism doesn't save you, but it's a sign that you have been saved. Why be baptized by immersion? Oh, my goodness. There is much discussion, much talk, much literature. Sometimes I just use illustrations or examples, and then people get upset with me. But, you know, we had a family that joined the church, and one was from a covenantal theology background. One was from a Baptist background. And the lady who was from the covenantal theology was marrying a guy who wanted to be a Baptist preacher. And she was very, very, very offended to be baptized as a believer going under the water and coming up out of the water when she already had a baptism that her parents were involved with. And, I will just tell you, sometimes you can write, you can talk, you can read, and you're not going to change people sometimes. You just have to understand it, okay? So all I'm telling you folks is we're going with the Bible. And so you don't find any example in the Bible of anyone being christened. There are no cases of infants being baptized. Now, I know that some people will use, whoa, that's so fast. You know, the Philippian jailer, on the night where he got saved, they brought the children in. Many other examples in the book of Acts where it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and, help me out, thy house, which is a true statement. By the way, it's been proven statistically that when the dad gets saved and baptized, the odds are very great that all the children will be saved and baptized. And so there's a general principle of truth, what God has said. We all have a will. It's not an ironclad thing. Everyone has to, you know, God has no unwilling children, so whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. You can't call upon the Lord for your child or your grandchild. I mean, you can pray for them, and you should pray for them. But the thing is, here it is. When the people say, well, what about the Philippian jailer? It said the children were baptized, and here's what they do. And surely there must have been children who were infants and babes. There's the evidence. That's called an argument from silence. It does not say that. We are not given enough information to know that there were infants baptized. But the long and short of it is this. At Centerview Baptist Church, here's how we roll. You have to be old enough to be born again, and then you are baptized by immersion, just the way the Bible says, and the very word means to immerse. And we go under the water, and we come up out of the water, and it is an illustration of the gospel. It's an illustration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And you do not get the same illustration with pouring or with christening. We need to be careful. We want to meet with everyone before they're baptized because words matter, and sometimes people have heard words. So let me just give you an example. We had a lady in our church who is from a Roman Catholic background. She wanted to join the church. She came forward at an altar call, which I stopped doing immediate additions to the church based on 2 minutes down at the altar. We meet with everyone one-on-one because she said, I came forward. You said, if you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you can be a part of the church. And I came forward because I got saved when I was an infant. The priest poured water on me, and I'm not trying to be mean, but in Roman theology, that is called baptismal regeneration, where the child is born again on the faith of the parents. She said, I thought that's what the word immersion meant. No, the word immersion means, as probably you're thinking, it means to immerse. If you're washing dishes, lady, and you have a pail of soapy water and you have a coffee cup, you immerse the cup in the water, you swish it around, you bring it up out of the water, you rinse. That's immersion. And here's the thing. We're teaching the class, and she goes, none of this ever happened to me. And we paused the class. It was a small classroom setting, and she got saved. And then she said, I need to go get my daughter because I don't think my daughter is saved either. Her daughter was 8 years old, and I could call them by name. I won't. Here's the thing. Her daughter really was saved. So the 8-year-old daughter was saved, but the mom was not saved, but she was using church words and misapplying them, and she thought she was good to go. That's why we want to meet one-on-one with everyone to make sure we've been born from up above. There's some notes there from church history. I've quoted from Luther and Calvin. And by the way, anytime you quote someone, understand this. There's a progression. People flip-flop and so on and so forth, so that you could give 5 quotes for every quote I've given you where they've changed their position. We understand that. Who should be baptized? Everyone who's repented of their sin and trusted Jesus. Now, here's the thing. And I've written something out there that you can take the time to read at your own leisure. I'll just use my own family as an illustration. We have 4 daughters, April, and she's our eldest. She lives in Raleigh. Just talked with her this afternoon. She's in a doctoral program, suffering through what Pastor Mark suffered through, losing her mind. do I quit? Do I not? Anyhow, April's our firstborn. Then Miss Jessica, then we have Susan, and then we have Julia. Not one of them is identical. All came out of the same womb. All had the same mommy. Actually, Julie was baptized, but let me just say this. They're all different. Or Julie was adopted. But let me just say this. All of our kids are different. Not one of them rolled the same way. One of them did get saved at age 6, and it was just an absolute assurance. She knew what she was doing. She knew that Jesus Christ loved her. She knew she was a sinner. And by the way, Mom and Dad, you don't have to be a bank robber to be a sinner. You just have to have an attitude. You know what I'm talking about? Where the child bows up their back, stomps their foot. And the one I like to remember is Jesse used to fold her hands. We called her our puffer. And she would say, I'm mad, and I'm mad. You don't have to be a bank robber. You just have to have a spirit of rebellion. And rebellion, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft. Jessica got saved when she was 8. April got saved when she was 6. Sometimes a child gets saved, and then they go to camp, and a preacher preaches on hell. And then they come home. We had some kids go off to youth camp one time, and I wasn't there for that camp. And the preacher was over the top preaching about hell. I mean, the kids came back. It was true. And we kind of had to debrief them. I think the guy was over the top. They all had a confidence crisis that none of them were saved, and they all needed to be re-saved about that. Listen, that happens with children. And if there's any doubt, in fact, one of our Brothers has written a book, Quit Asking Jesus Into Your Heart. He's not saying that the sinner's prayer is an incantation or whatever. He's saying once you actually ask Jesus in and you mean it, you're saved. You know, you don't need to keep... have you ever met someone that says, well, I ask Jesus into my heart every night? Well, why would you do that? He's already in. You're kind of like slapping... You know, I'll pick on Jared and Heather. They're married. They have kids. They're blessed. Jared doesn't need to keep saying, Heather, would you marry me? She's like, you know, dude, we're already married. I mean, come on. Let's move forward. We're married. We've settled that. So with children, here's what we do at Centerview Baptist Church. We will happily sit down with any child. But, I'll pick an example. The Kelso family. Tyler got saved. And so I sit down with mom and dad. I'm happy to sit down. But I defer to the parents who are loving the Lord, raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The mom and dad know the child better than I. I will happily help, but for solid Christian parents, we defer to their judgment on that situation. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, okay? So that's that situation. When should I be baptized? Well, right away. I don't believe in the wait thing. As we go through the book of Acts, we'll make this a little bit interactive for a minute here. All right, Bible scholars, do you have any example in the Bible of people going into a waiting or holding pattern when they got saved before they were baptized? Does anyone know of any thing in the Bible that says wait X number of days? Can anyone think of any time when people got baptized the same day as they got saved? Can anyone think of an example from the book of Acts on that? This is an opportunity to actually speak from the floor. Anyone? Philip. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. And remember, the Lord said, hey, Philip, go down to Gaza. And it's a sequence of miraculous events there. And, you know, come alongside this chariot. Here's an Ethiopian eunuch, the queen of Ethiopia, Candace. He was a minister in her court. She was her treasurer, I believe. And he was reading the scroll from Isaiah. And Philip said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? You know, how can I let someone help? And he invites the man up. And the bottom line is the guy gets saved, right? And then they're driving along, and Deacon Philip must have been preaching the whole gospel because they said, stop the chariot. There's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Do you remember what he said? Philip opened his mouth, preached Jesus, and ultimately said, if you believe with all your heart, and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the same as the apostolic confession of Peter. And hold the horses. They went down, got baptized, and then something mystical happened. The Holy Spirit dashed Philip away. That day and age does not exist anymore, in my opinion. But at any rate, you're exactly right. Philip is an example. What about the day of Pentecost? What about the Philippian jailer? What about Lydia? You know, the New Testament is filled with examples of people being saved and baptized right away. And here's what I've discovered, church family. Here is what I have discovered. The longer you wait, the harder it is to follow through with believers' baptism. My daughter and I were talking, and she's a doctoral candidate, and which is another way of saying you're not a doctor yet. And the thing is, a lot of doctoral candidates quit because they get overwhelmed with all. They look at the end of the book, and I'm never, ever going to be able to do this. And so 50% of all doctoral candidates quit before they are done with their dissertation or their ministry project for Doctor of Ministry guys. That's in the theological world or in the education world. There are other doctorates that are different. Here's what I've discovered with baptismal candidates. Baptismal candidates are kind of like doctoral candidates. The longer you put it off, the more unlikely it is that you will ever do it. We have some folks who've been waiting to be baptized, and can I just tell you this? I took them off the list. After about a year, I've discovered you ain't going to follow through, are you? If you change your mind, we're here for you. Let us know, but we're not going to hound you. We're not going to guilt you into it. It's got to be something you want to do from your heart. So I am a huge fan. And for those who are watching the clock, I've already made a decision. We're just going to talk about baptism tonight. We'll do the Lord's Supper next week so you can stop panicking for all the folks who are concrete sequential, like your pastors. So here is the thing. I believe in doing it right away. Now, can I just pause and give another little example? One day, true story, one day we had two sisters that joined the church. And they were from a very rough, this was many years ago. They no longer live here, so I'm not trashing anyone. I'm not making any kind of a judgment statement. I'm just telling you what happened. Two sisters, they lived in the Bella Woods Mobile Home Park. They lived next to one of our members who's no longer with us. And he said, "I'm really burdened about these girls. Can you go share the gospel with them?" And I did. And they were from a really, really rough background. I mean, heavily involved with drugs, involved with witchcraft and Wicca. And so the thing is, I preached my heart out to them. I shared the gospel, and it kind of, you know, just took a clear shot across the bow, didn't enter the heart, and that was the end of that. But then they started coming to church. And one day, Jessica was singing a song. I can't remember what the song was, but it was a song about not being ashamed or something like that. And they got saved that Sunday. And later they said it was the song that really broke down the barrier in their heart and opened their hearts to the gospel, to the Lord Jesus, the person and work of Christ. Now, I said all that to say this. They got saved, and we baptized them that Sunday evening. And when I got home, the phone was ringing, and I got chewed out by one of our deacons. "Do you realize what you just did? Baptized two ladies? Did you know that they were they're Wiccans? They're practicing witchcraft." I said, "And your point is, we should have watched them for a while to see if it was really going to be genuine, because you just might have baptized a couple of unconverted people." I said, "Okay, you have my full attention. Can you show me in the Bible where I have done wrong? Can you show me in Scripture? Because I can show you example after example after example of people being baptized and the very same day they were saved." Now, here's the thing. If you're a student of church history, you know, the apostles and the disciples began to write, and when was the D.K. written? Do you remember, Mark? First 100 years of the church, the church made a manual, the D.K., the teaching of the church, and there was a point at which converts had to wear white robes and be watched. They were kind of like watched. A lot of churches do that nowadays. You can get saved, but we're not going to baptize you until you're 18. We're not going to baptize you for 2 years, or we're not going to baptize you until you learn how to give a testimony. Listen, there's a lot of churches that roll differently, and I respect and honor churches to operate independently under the direction of the Holy Spirit, under the leadership of their pastors. I'm not making a bad comment about people. I'm just saying at Centerview Baptist Church, when you get saved, we encourage you to get baptized. Now, can I crawl inside your heart and know if you're telling me a straight scoop or not? Here's the thing. I really can't. What I'm about to say is are there some times where people get baptized and they really haven't been saved yet? Well, let me just say that at Centerview Baptist Church, since I've been your pastor, we have baptized, I think, about 640 folks during those 16 years. We usually run anywhere from 30 to 60 baptisms a year. I hope that number increases. We're just a few weeks into the new year, because our new year starts in October, and we had a few folks held over from last year, so we've got about 20 folks awaiting baptism. This could be a really, really wonderful year for baptism. Now, so am I going to just say that I can guarantee you this, not one of those people was unconverted there. Every last one of them was converted. I'm going to tell you, there's no doubt. Out of 640, there probably were some who were making a false confession. Now, we are not anxious to baptize people. We don't say, "Hey, just show up and we'll baptize you. We won't even talk to you." We don't do all that business. But here's the thing. So what some churches have done is, because of the concern that people might not be ready to be baptized, they, and I'm just going to say it like this, they put extra biblical requirements in there that are not found in the Bible. So, you know, if you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and we use all kinds of words here at Center View, if you have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we are not going to put extra biblical requirements on you that you know, obviously God does not put on you. And so my encouragement is, as soon as possible, after by God's amazing grace, you have repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should follow him in baptism. There's really no reason to delay. Now, I need to put a footnote. So when I was in my doctoral program, I will tell you that most of the young men in my doctoral program, in our group of students, our cohort, had an age. Some, believe it or not, I know some of you may not believe this, some churches are waiting, they won't baptize children. You have to be a legal adult. You have to be 18. And I say, that must really be disappointing to children who get saved. And so that I had to wait until I'm 18. I will tell you, the majority of them set an age of 12. All my children were baptized before the age of 12. Listen, if you're raising, I think Mark told me one of your daughters, you're pretty certain got saved at, yeah. Now, so here's my conviction. I won't baptize a child under 6 years of age, and here's why. And every pastor has to make his own determination on that. Why I won't baptize someone under 6 years of age is because of this reason, and it's from experience. We had a sweet, sweet lady. She played our piano. In fact, she played the harp. That was going back a long time at Centerview. She was a harpist, and boy, was she ever good. And she could play the piano like fire. I mean, she was like a concert pianist. But she allegedly was told by her parents that she got saved at about 4 years of age, and she was baptized. And one day she came in the office, and she just broke down crying, and she was doubting her salvation. She said, you know, my only testimony is my parents told me that I got saved and baptized when I was 4 years of age. I have no recollection of that event. Now, by the way, if someone is troubled about that, there's an easy fix. You know what it is? It is uttering the prayer from your heart, meaning it with all of your heart, and then getting baptized. And can I just tell you, two of our four daughters had that youth camp experience where, you know, they got the daylight scared out of them. And, Dad, I'm not sure if I did this right. I'm not sure if I really was saved when I got baptized because, I understand hell is quite hot and I don't want to go there. And so, and now they're 9 or they're 12 or whatever. And so they have, here's what I say. Listen, let's just go ahead and do this again. We want you to have peace of heart and mind. It's just too important to have doubt over it. Now, do I think you should do that, you know, 3 times, 4 times, 10 times? No. And that's where the book, Stop Asking Jesus in Your Heart. The first time you did it, meant it, he came in. But to prevent people from having that kind of experience, most of you probably can start remembering things from maybe when you were like 6 years of age. Do you remember? I remember my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Hammer. Do you remember yours? Do you remember your preschool teacher? Probably not. And so it's fine. Every pastor has to have a conviction in their heart. I defer to parents, but even with Christian parents, I say, well, let's at least wait till the child is 6 years old. We mock, we would refer to as pedo-Baptists, people that baptize babies. But some Baptist churches are guilty of doing the exact same thing by baptizing children who are not yet ready to be baptized. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, but once we have truly been saved, we believe in baptizing by immersion as soon as possible after we have been saved. It is a confession of faith. It is a public declaration that Jesus is Lord. It is a public proclamation that Jesus died for my sins on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Miss Rachel, were you going to be baptized tonight as well, sweetie pie? Sweet! All right. Is there anyone else anyone else with parental approval that wants to be baptized? All right. So I'm going to ask Pastor Mark have a hymn of invitation, do the offering while we all get ready for baptism. Would that be okay? So all the candidates for baptism, Pastor George, myself, Pastor Mark will lead the offertory and the closing hymn for tonight.